Today's daf is Nun Tet. We're going to start at Nun Chet Amabet at the two dots, about 10 or 12 lines from the bottom. Amar Reish Lakish. First we have Magbiya Avdo Shabbat Siman. That's just the Siman for the next three comments we're going to have. Amar Reish Lakish. We had yesterday about slapping someone in the face, that it's like slapping the Shekhinah. So now we're going to talk about hitting someone. But here it's not even hitting, it's HaMagbiya Yado HaChavero. Somebody who lifts up his hand to hit somebody. Even if he doesn't actually hit the person, but he just gets ready to hit the person, he's already called a rasha. How do we know this? Okay, this is by Moshe Rabbeinu when he sees the two people fighting, and he says, "Lama takere echa? Why would you hit your friend? Lama hikita lo ne'emar. It doesn't say why did you hit. It says ela lama take." So because it says, Lama takeh, why are you going to hit? And he already, the assumption in this part, right? He says he's a rasha. So the assumption is that since he's a rasha, he's called him a rasha, but he hasn't actually hit him. Lama takeh, why are you about to hit your friend? Okay, so just by trying to hit somebody, you're already considered a rasha. Amar Ze'eri, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Nikra Chote. You're also called a sinner if you lift up your hand to hit somebody. Shenemar, im lo lakachti bechozka, uchti vati chatat hanarim gdola meod. What is this about? This is about the sons of Eli. If you remember the sons of Eli, they would grab the meat from the people, and it says that they would grab the meat, right? They were koanim, and they would take the meat that people were going to eat. Katerik tivun kayom achelev, v'kachach kasher taban avshecha, v'amar lo, lo kiatati tin, right? Give it to me. Vimlo lakachti bechoska. If you don't give it to me, I'm going to grab it from you. And what do you see here again? The Bnei Eli said they threatened people that they were going to hit them. Right? If you don't give me the meat, I'll hit you. And what do they say about them? Vati chatat hanarim gdola. The sin of them was great. Okay, even though they only were going to and didn't actually do it. Rav Huna Amar, tikat tzeitz yado, his hand should be cut off. Okay, this is quite harsh. You think this is harsh, just wait. Shenemar, uzro ramati shaver. Okay, they quote a pasuk from Eov, okay, which is, right, the hand that lifts up should be broken. Again, the hand that lifts up to hit somebody, not, right, if you would hit, it would be down, not up, probably. Okay. The Rav Huna, here goes the surprising part, katz yada. Rav Huna chopped off the hand of somebody who, according to this, was about to hit somebody. Now I wonder if it means that he literally chopped off the hand, or it's meant to be understood somehow figuratively. Maybe he prevented him from doing it. I don't know.
It's to quite. Say he had it cut off as a fine.
The pshat seems to mean that he punished someone for doing it, but I'd like to hope that maybe there's another way of interpreting it, that maybe it doesn't mean he actually did it. But yes, the commentaries all say he actually cut his hand off. Okay. It's interesting. It says katz yada. It almost sounds like maybe he cut off his own hand, right? It doesn't say the pshat is, yeah, everyone explains it, that he cut someone else's hand off, but I wonder if Rav Huna himself, maybe he was inflicted. I don't know. Either which way you read it, it's very difficult to swallow. That's why I assume it means figuratively. I think this whole thing is figurative. First of all, it's interesting that this is in the middle of Sanhedrin when we're talking about punishments for acts people do. And here it's an act someone's about to do, and yet you're actually getting punished for it. I'm not sure if this whole sugya was meant to be understood literally, again, although the Rav Huna katz yada does seem to make it appear that that's the case. But I think they're just trying to show how serious they view it as somebody threatening somebody else. That's why the Bnei Eli is a good one, because they're bullying people. And they're trying to prevent bullying.
Yeah. This suggests that he was constantly striking other people, meaning that he cut it off in this instance, maybe before he had, but it was somebody who had been warned and who knew and
Did
a lot.
Right, which is hard to understand according to the pshat, which is really just saying lifting your hand. But yeah. Okay, Rabbi Lazar Omer, ye'en lo takana ela kvura. The only thing you can do for a person who's going to hit somebody is death. Shene'emar v'ish zroa lo ha'aretz. And so I think maybe, Ruth, you're suggesting is that maybe the sugya switched from hamagbia yado to actually somebody who hits. Because now all these psukim are referring to somebody who uses their hand to do bad things. Ish zroa lo ha'aretz. So a person of the arm, who uses his arm strongly, lo ha'aretz. Where does he belong? In the ground, buried. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar, lo nitna karka ele lebalei zroot, shenemar v'ish zroa lo ha'aretz. Now it's understood, now we're understanding the pasuk a little more according to its pshat, that the karka land is given to tough people. In other words, if you want to be a landowner, you have to know how to work hard, work with your hands. So they're kind of flipping it into saying, well, that's really what the pshat of this pasuk is. But they're explaining it as he belongs buried in the ground. Now, already we're talking about if you work hard, you'll be deserving of land. Okay, in other words, and if you don't work hard, you won't be able to keep your land, really. You have to work hard. So here's another comment in that line, in that vein. V'amar ish lakish, my dechtiv oved admato yispa lechem. Im osa adam atzmo ke'eved la'adama yispa lechem. If you view yourself as a slave to your land, meaning you work very hard, then you'll reap the rewards. Vim lav lo yispa lechem. Okay, moving topics now. We're back to Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. V'amar ish lakish, ove kochavim sheshavat chayav mita. This is a very interesting halacha. Anyone who knows about converts, right? Someone in the process of converting has to be mechalel Shabbat every week, even while they're practicing to be Jewish. And this is based on this halacha. An ove kochavim that keeps Shabbat is chayav mita, quite harsh, which would then sound like this should be added to the list, okay, of the Bnei Noach. We'll talk about it soon. Shenemar v'yom v'layla lo yishbotu. Okay, this pasuk is in Breishit. Okay, right. Od kol yimei ha'aretz zera v'katzir v'kor v'chom v'kayetz v'choret v'yom v'layla lo yishbotu. Meaning you have to work day and night. So here it was told too, you know, the Bnei Noach, so to speak, right, that you can't stop working. Okay, what is this? What is the source of this halacha that you, what does it mean? So I'm going to give you three interpretations. All of them I find not so clear cut. But anyway, one is why can't you stop working? Because you're robbing it's part of gezel, you're robbing the world of produce, of anything it might be. In other words, by not working, you're not allowing others to have things because you're not working. So it comes under gezel. That's the Yad Ramah. Another is he's creating his own religion, okay, like by saying, I'm going to keep Shabbat, sort of creating his own religion. That one, if he's doing it as a Jew, let's say, you know, then he's not really keeping his own religion. It works a little better with the next line, which I didn't read yet. Let's just read on a little bit more, and then you'll see. Ba'amar mar azhara shalehen zoi mitatan. Okay, this was the azhara, and once you have an azhara for something, you already get killed for it. Amaravina afilu sheni b'shabbat. Even if he does his day of rest on a Monday, no, it's not just keeping Shabbat. If he decides Monday is going to be my day of rest, I'm not going to work, then that's going against then he can't do that, and that might be viewed more as creating your own religion, as opposed to keeping Shabbat, which means you're just kind of doing what the Jews do.
Which could create like a Jews for Jesus sort of scenario, you could imagine, if you keep Shabbat, right, and then you have this interaction.
You could say Jews for Jesus, and that's really the third, which is the Meiri, which maybe you can view him in light of, you know, his Christian surroundings, like we talked about him the other day about saying Akum isn't Christians, that he's saying that you might give the impression that he's Jewish, exactly Jews for Jesus, and therefore it might teach Jews to do the wrong thing. They'll think that this is their religion and they'll do other things that he does. So that might be the most convincing argument, you know, the one that maybe makes a little more sense to us. Okay, we're going to have another one similar to this that we're going to have to deal with also in a minute. So then why don't we add it to the seven mitzvot b'nei Noach? By the way, it's not just us who have this concept of Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, even though we saw all sorts of counts of how many there really are, but the Gemara also calls them the Sheva Mitzvot. So, Ki Kachashiv, why is this not in the list? So, first of all, if you say it's Gezel, then you can say it's not in the list because it's under Gezel, right? And if you say it's a new religion, you could say maybe it's a Vonazara. You could classify it under there. Anyway, the Gemara answers, Ki Kachashiv Sheva Al Taaseh. Kum Aseh Lo Kachashiv. This is a Mitzvot Aseh. Right, it's not a mitzvah lo tase. So because of that, right, yomam v'layla lo tishbotu. It's an ase. You have to keep working. It's not don't. I mean, obviously we understand it is don't do that. But the asara in the Torah is not worded in the negative. It's worded in the positive. Oh, constantly work. V'hadinim kum asehu. But what about the mitzvah of dinim? That's a kum ase. Create a court system. V'kachashiv, and that's considered in the list. It's got both elements to it, because it's got the element of creating a court system, but it's also got all these elements of don't, don't take bribes, don't, you know, there's all sorts of low tasses associated with the mitzvah of dinim, and that's why it's in, and this one is not in. Okay, the next interesting one, V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, anyone who's gone to, right, anyone who looks out in the world or universities or all this stuff, okay, in the Jewish studies department, there's always lots of non-Jews. I studied in Hebrew, there were lots of Chinese people who were coming studying and all sorts of, right, and that was a while ago, I'm sure now it's even more popular. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ovei Kochavim Shosek B'Torah Chayav Mita. Now, somebody might say, well, the universities aren't Torah anyway, but... so anyway, what do you see here? An Ovei Kochavim that learns Torah is Chayav Mita. Okay, this is also pretty serious up there. Okay, he's not allowed to be Osek B'Torah. Notice the word Osek B'Torah. Maybe you could, it's not Lomei Torah. I don't know, maybe you could differentiate. How do we get this? And we'll talk about in a minute what the roots, you know, what the Mefreshim say about what the problem is. Shene'emar Torah tziva lanu Moshe Morasha. Right, Morasha Kila Yaakov, famous Pasuk. What is they, how do they do? Darshan Morasha, Lanu Morasha v'lo lahem. It's for us as an inheritance, but not for anybody else, right? Inheritance is something that you're born into. So, let's talk about different reasons. So the Meiri says, like the Meiri would say, is that it's only if you're using it to challenge Jews, okay? For polemic purposes. But if you're doing it for the sake of learning, it's okay. Okay, it's only if you're using it to challenge people. Again, I don't know that that's the pshat, but it does make sense. And again, it's clearly his influence of where he is. The Rambam very interestingly differentiates between Christians and Muslims. He says the Christians who believe the Torah to be true, right, just believe that it's updated, you know, they have their own version, they're allowed to learn it. But Muslims who don't believe the Torah is true, that's what he says, therefore they can't learn it. In other words, if you believe it's true, then you're allowed to learn it. But if you write, it's a very interesting...
What about if you're just learning it from like a historical perspective?
Right. So, yeah, I mean, we can come and say whatever we want. I'm trying to say how the Mefreshim dealt with this.
Okay.
Then I saw an opinion that basically just disagreed and said you could teach it as long as it... If it might lead someone to find the truth, then of course you can teach them Torah. In other words, and that's again maybe, are we encouraging converts? Do we not encourage converts to our religion? Things like that. Anyway, yeah, and as you might say, it depends why they're studying it, how they're studying it. That's why I said you might distinguish between the Lashon of Osek and not Osek. So anyway, that was a few perspectives of what it is. It's obviously difficult in the context of modern times where lots of non-Jews are interested for the sake of history or for the sake of just studying some other culture and not sure that that would come under the same category.
Yeah. Very often they interchange of the Avodah Zarah and of the Kochabim as the same thing, and other times they differentiate because I know that Christianity...
Well, Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Ovdei Kochavim are the same thing. It would be Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Nochrim or any non-Jews.
No, but for example, non-Jews today are not even considered Ovdei Kochavim.
Right, I'm saying Ovdei Avodah Zarah and Ovdei Kochavim are the same terminology. They mean pagans, okay, as opposed to Nochrim or Goyim, which would just be any non-Jews. And that's the home. That's the Meiri's big chidush. The Meiri says most of the references that are negative in the Gemara about Ovdei Kochavim are pagans, and they're not Christians. And he basically neutralizes tons of sugyot that says they're no longer relevant. I mean, unless you go to the Far East, and then if they, you know.
I just wish to know about the Shiva
Mitzvah Bnei Noach. They don't stay. Ah, yafeh, yafeh. So the assumption is that they're allowed to learn the Shiva Mitzvah Bnei Noach. Yes, right. It's obviously, yeah, it's complicated in terms of that. And it could be, you know, I didn't follow because I just saw it quoted somewhere about those who disagree and said they're allowed to follow in order to find the truth. Whether he just says I disagree with the statement. Remember, there's all sorts of statements in the Gemara that one person said doesn't necessarily mean we all hold that way. So that also could be that, you know, some people say we just don't hold this way. This is an approach we don't abide by. You know, just like the negative statements about women, they weren't said by everybody. They were said by a few specific people who said those statements. You know, kol melamed bitat Torah, kilo melamed atiflut. Is that considered to be halacha, or is it a comment? Somebody said, based on the historical context of where they were living. It doesn't necessarily mean it's meant to be halacha, and it's not necessarily, maybe it was meant to be halacha then, but not in some future point. These aren't the same type of halachic statements as, you know, other ones, like kashrut and things that come from the Torah and that are clear-cut. This is kind of connected to psukim, but not the same type of thing. Okay, let's move on. The lichshevei gabei sheva mitzvot. So the same question, why isn't it listed in the sheva mitzvot if that's the case? Manda Amar Morasha, if you say it comes from our inheritance, if you read the pasuk as Morasha, like the pshat, Morasha is inheritance, then Migzal Kagazala, he's stealing something from us, in which case it's under Gezela. Manda Amar Morasa, some people read Morasha as Morasa. Lots of times Shin and Sin and Samach are switched. Morasa, meaning, right, it's Morasa, we are betrothed to God. Then Dino Kanara Morasa de Beskila. Then by him coming to learn, it's as if he's raping the Nara Morasa and he gets Skila. Okay, that's a much more distant one. Hard to read in the Pshat. Meitive. Okay, now we're going to ask a question. Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Minayin Shafilu Ove Kochavim Ba'osek B'Torah, Shehu Kekohen Gadol. Here we see, remember I said, well, maybe it's just some guy's opinion, right? Here we see a totally opposite view, which is Rabbi Meir is very encouraging of non-Jews who are learning Torah. Okay, he's treated like a Kohen Gadol. That's pretty serious. How do we know? Shneemar Asher Yaseh Otam Adam V'Chay Bahem. Very famous pasuk in Vayikra, right? What does it say? Ushmartem Et Chukotai V'Mishpatai. Follow my laws and statutes. Asher Yaseh Otam Adam V'Chay Bahem. Right? This is for man to live by. What does it say? What word? Adam. Adam means anybody. Anybody should be following my mitzvot. So, of course, a non-Jew should be learning. Kohanim Leviim v'Yisraelim lo ne'emar ela ha'adam ha'lamadeta shafilu ovei kochavim v'osek b'torah ha'reu kekohen gadol. Okay, where they get exactly the Kohen Gadol, I'm not sure, but he's considered like the top of the Jews, basically. They're saying if you go up the hierarchy, he's the top person, he would be like them. So how do we know that? And here comes your answer, Dana. Ha'atam b'sheva mitzvot didu. That's a non-Jew who's learning the Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. He's considered on a high level, but he shouldn't be learning anything else. Again, that's the Gemara's answer. Just because the Gemara answers that doesn't mean that we can't say, wait a minute, there was a ton of Yiddish source that's very encouraging of non-Jews learning Torah in the name of Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, we had, I believe it was Rabbi Yochanan, who says they can't learn Torah. So we have two different approaches, possibly, and we can view it in that context. And maybe where they lived and the historical context affected how they viewed it and who the non-Jews were and what was going on, right? The truth is they were both in Eretz Yisrael, but in different time periods. So anyway, it's food for thought. Again, like what, whenever there's a contradiction, the Gemara answers it, there's always possibilities that that wasn't what was originally meant, and just because the Gemara gives that as their answer. Okay. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Af Hadam Min Achai. Now we're going way back. Yesterday's daf, we had the shorter versions of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. If you recall, we had seven, then we had one, we had two, three, or whether it was yesterday's or 2 days ago, I don't remember. But the day before that, we had possibly there were eight, nine, right, additional ones. So this is the source that said that there were additional ones. And what was it? Dam Min Achai. Blood that comes not just in Eiver Min Achai, but also Dam Min Achai. Tanu Rabbanan. Ach basar benafsho damo lo tochlu. Ze ever minachai. Okay, right? If you say basar benafsho damo lo tochlu, right? You can't eat basar benafsho, meaning live basar, which means ever minachai. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer, av hadam minachai. Even blood from the chai. My time with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Kare le basar benafsho lo tochel. Damo benafsho lo tochel. Okay, it says basar benafsho lo tochel, which he understands as Basar b'nafsho, right, damo lo tochel. So they say, what does that mean? It means basar, that the blood is in its nefesh, where the flesh and the blood are connected, which is different from, what did we say? Right, shritzim. So, this one is not the shritzim, right? He says, basar b'nafsho lo tochlu, damo b'nafsho lo tochel, meaning, don't eat the blood from its nefesh. Sorry, I was confused with that one. He says, just don't eat the blood. The other opinion, who doesn't include this in the list, say that's just trying to say that non-Jews are allowed to eat shratzim. Kayotze b'davar ataomer, rach chazak lebilti echol hadam, ki adam hu anefesh. Okay, we see this also, another source that says, right, rach chazak, you should be strong, lebilti, this is a pasuk from Devarim, not to eat the blood, right, this is for Jews, it's told, not for B'nai Noach, but it says, you shouldn't eat the dam, because the dam is the nefesh. So, one second, the Vav, right, Ulivnei Noach, Rach Chazak Lebilti Echol Hadam, Ze Ever, no, I don't know what the Vav is, it should say Ulivnei Noach, Chazak, I'm just trying to figure out this, a Girsa issue here, Rak hazak lebilti yachol adam. Ah, right. This is nimchak. The Gra just erases this. Okay, so they're just saying this pasuk shows that the dam is the nefesh. That's the damo benafsho, show, and that you shouldn't be eating the blood. So Rabbanan, what do Rabbanan say about that? In other words, that would apply to everybody. So Livnei Noach also. So how would they say it's not Livnei Noach? Hahu l'dam hakaza she'neshama yotza b'hudata. That's only time when it says hadamu ha'nefesh. They're only talking about bloodletting. Why did they bloodlet? In order to allow the nefesh to survive. So only blood from bloodletting would be usher, but regular blood would be okay. That's what he says. So he goes back and explains the pasuk, our earlier pasuk, about basar b'nafsho lo tochel, damo b'nafsho lo tochel, right, the drasha of damo b'nafsho. He says the dam that's referred to in that pasuk about b'nei noach is only talking about dam from bloodletting. The dam that's really the nefesh, but not any blood. He's distinguishing between different kinds of bloods. Or blood that comes out for different reasons, right? Not blood from a cut or something like that. Lalameli lemichtav livnei noach. Now we're going to start on the whole thing. If this is mentioned twice, okay, according to him, it's mentioned both in Parshat Bereish, in Sefer Bereishit for Noach, ach basar b'nafsho damo lo tochelu, and then it's mentioned also in Dvarim to the Jews, don't eat the blood. Right? What's the assumption? The assumption is, even though we've mentioned that there's a bunch of differences between B'nai Noach and Yisrael, the assumption is that anything B'nai Noach were commanded, we're also B'nai Noach, so we're also commanded to do. So if we were already commanded, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, not to eat the blood as B'nai Noach, why do we need a separate commandment in Dvarim to tell us, don't eat the blood? It seems redundant. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask. Why do we have to say it to the Bnei Noach and to repeat it at Har Sinai? Did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina? Okay, it's to teach us this halacha of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. Da'am Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, kol mitzvah she'ne'emra l'bnei Noach, v'nishneit b'Sinai, l'ze u'l'ze ne'emra. We're now going to have klalim, okay, rules. If it was told to the Bnei Noach and it was repeated to Yisrael at Sinai, then it was said to everybody, meaning B'nai Noach have to keep it, and we have to keep it. But Ne'emra l'B'nai Noach, v'lo nishnei b'Sinai. Now there's going to be a strange conclusion here. If it was told to the B'nai Noach, and it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, or meaning in the Torah after, Sinai is just a term meant for, you know, anywhere in the Torah, L'Yisrael Ne'emra v'lo l'B'nai Noach. Then B'nai Noach actually aren't meant to keep it. Remember, what was B'nai Noach? B'nai Noach was, you know, Noach and then Avram, and we came from the B'nai Noach. So if it wasn't repeated to us, then the intent was that that original one that was said then was really meant just for us. And as time went on, it's no longer for the B'nai Noach. And at that point, it was for the B'nai Noach. Once we got the Torah, it became ours entirely, exclusively. Va'anu ein lanu ela, which is the only one that really has this unique structure where it was told to them and not repeated at Sinai, ela gid hanasheh. The gid hanasheh, right, was given to Yaakov, right? It was told to Yaakov, and therefore it's considered, right? Anything before Matan Torah is really considered l'bnei Noach. It's a bit of a tricky one because it was told to Yaakov specifically, and it was said to him. But the assumption, and people question that. There's no great answer for that question that I found. But anyway, right now they're assuming it was anything before Matan Torah is considered B'nai Noach, and therefore, Ein Lanu Ela Gid Hanasheh, that's the only one that wasn't repeated. We're obviously going to have to question this klal. Is it really true? Ve'aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says in Perek Gid Hanasheh Chulin, that Mibnei Yaakov Ne'asar Gid Hanasheh, okay, this is, I'm looking at Rashi, Mibnei Yaakov Ne'asar Gid Hanasheh, Shayu B'nei Noach Koda Matan Torah, okay, V'Rabbanam Plige V'Amru B'Sinai Ne'emar V'lo Lahem, Ela She'Nechtab B'Mkomo. The Rabbanan have an interesting shita about Gid Hanasheh. They claim that it was given at Sinai, but it was put in the text earlier. It's such a fascinating shita, right? That it really was given only at Sinai. But when the Torah was written, since it connected with the Yaakov story, they wrote it in there, okay? But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was actually given to Yaakov before Matan Torah, which would classify it under the mitzvot B'nai Noach. So only according to Rabbi Yehuda would you have this one case of Gid Hanasheh, which falls into that second category. Now we're going to go into these klalim. Amar Mar. So first we're going to start with the first one. Kol mitzvah she'nemra l'B'nai Noach v'nishnei b'Sinai l'zeh u'l'zeh ne'emra. So now the Gemara says, Adrabah, you should really say the opposite. Midinishnepasinai, what would that, if it was repeated to us at Matan Torah, what would that seem to imply? Liyisrael ne'emar, avalola b'nei Noach, right? It would seem to imply that it was just given to us because God repeats it to us, it's Har Sinai, which means it's only ours and no longer b'nei Noach. So what do they say? Midi'idne avodat kochavim b'sinai, ve'eshkechan da'anash ovde kochavim ilavei, shma mina lezeo lezeh ne'emar. What's the best proof? At Matan Torah, we're commanded not to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, we all know that B'nai Noach are commanded not to worship Avodah Zarah. That's obvious. So therefore, since we have that case, this is one of those proofs that we use reality to the Mitziyut to prove what must be the case. Since we know that they're forbidden to worship Avodah Zarah, that's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, that's a clear-cut one. So therefore, we're going to say, right, in fact, why is it so clear-cut?
It's the only one that
because
was
the only one that was across the board that everybody agreed about. So that's why they took this example. So since that was one that was Nishnei Pesinai, and it's to all of us, from there we're going to learn the klal, that it's for everybody. Okay. Now we're going to go to the next few words of his statement. Livnei Noach, v'lo Nishnei Pesinai, right? If it was given to Bnei Noach, but not repeated at Sinai, then Yisrael Ne'emra, v'lo Libnei Noach. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to question this. Adraba, midilonish nepesinai, libnei noach nemra below the Yisrael, right? Doesn't it sound like if it was given to bnei noach and wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, it sounds like maybe it's not for us, it's only for bnei noach. So again, the Gemara answers, like I said earlier today, the assumption is, leka midaim de l'Yisrael shari uliove kochavim asur. There isn't a commandment that was given to them that we're going to be permitted to do. It doesn't make any sense. They say, what do you mean? We already talked about some differences, right? They're going to highlight. Okay, we talked about minor differences, but there was one big difference of a mitzvah that really isn't included for us. V'harei yifat Torah. What about an eshet yifat Torah? Which an eshet yifat Torah, we said, is we're allowed to take capture in war, and they're not allowed to. So hatan, they said, that's a side reason why they're not allowed to take a yifat Torah. Mishum delav b'nei kibush ninu. It's a strange one. Since the whole mitzvah of Eshet Yifat Torah is, by the way, it's not any war. It's a war when you're conquering the land of Israel. And since they didn't have a commandment to conquer the land of Israel, that's basically the assumption is the land of Israel. Okay, you can get very complicated with this if you want to take it politically. I'm not going there. But according to this Gemara, what's it saying? The land belongs to us, so anything in the land is ours. Right? So any Yifat Torah that you capture belongs to you, basically, because we were commanded to conquer. Whereas they weren't commanded to conquer, and therefore it doesn't belong to them. So for them it's Gezel, for us it's not Gezel. It's very simple, according to the way the Gemara reads it. It's obviously not very simple at all, because the whole concept of Eshet Yifat Torah is quite difficult, that you can just take a woman in war, capture her, take her to be your wife. Quite complicated. And the concept that, what do you mean, the lamb belongs to us and anything in it belongs, is quite difficult on an ethical, from an ethical perspective. But to the Gemara, they seem to simplify the whole thing and look at it very... on a surface level, right? Black and white and superficially. V'hare, what about Pachot Mishava Pruta? Remember we had the Pachot Mishava Pruta? Right? They're bringing up some of the differences where if you steal a Pachot Mishava Pruta, if you're a non-Jew, then we're going to say you're obligated in Gezel and a Jew is not obligated. So again, that's for a side reason. Haka Mishum Delav B'nei Mechilan Inhu. Since Jews are Mochel, on the less than a Shabbat Pruta, therefore you're not Chayav. But in theory, you would be Chayav. We're only not Chayav because people are Mochel. But non-Jews aren't Mochel, and therefore they're obligated. Okay, so that's all side issues. Okay, and therefore we still have our klal. Kol mitzvah she'nemra l'bnei Noach, v'nishneit b'sinai, l'lzeu l'zeh nemra. We're going back now. Right, so any mitzvah that was given both to us, both to them, and was repeated at Sinai, was given to both of us. Now we're going to have a few examples of things that were repeated and yet are known. Again, we're questioning these against reality, what we know to be a fact. V'hare mila, brit mila, ne'emra l'bnei Noach. Again, what's b'nei Noach? It's not just Noach, it's Avraham, it's Yaakov, it's anyone before Matan Torah. So here there was a commandment given a brit mila to Avraham. Dichtiv, v'atai briti tishmor. V'nishneit b'sinai, and it's repeated in the Torah. U'bayom ha'shmini yimol b'sar olato. In Vayikra, right? Say, you have to give a brit milah. So, and we all know, Liyisrael ne'emrav alola b'nei Noach. B'nei Noach don't have a commandment to do circumcision. So what do they say? Now they're going to say, every time we're going to have, well, it's going to be two cases, when we have this repetition, and yet it's only for Jews, which would go against the klal that we have, the rule that we just established. So we're going to say that when it was repeated for a particular reason. It wanted to teach us something else, not about the base halacha. The base halacha we learned from Bnei Noach, but there's a certain detail of it that the repetition is coming to teach us. What's this one? If anyone remembers this, we learned this. Hahulam, a long time ago, probably in Masechet Shabbat. I'm sure it was in Masechet Shabbat. Hahulam Mishrei Shabbat Hu Da'ata. That's coming to be Matir Brit Milah on Shabbat. We all know if Brit Milah falls on Shabbat, only if it's Bismana, it's Doche Shabbat. We do Brit Milah on Shabbat, even though you're cutting and etc. So, what do we say? There was even the whole machloka there about Machshirei Milah. Are you allowed to carry the knife to get to use it, etc. So, anyway, that's why it says, Ubayom HaShmini Yimov HaStar Olato is saying, if it's Bayom HaShmini and it falls on Shabbat, you're allowed to do it. Okay, and therefore, it's not coming to repeat the mitzvah. If it came just to repeat the mitzvah, then you're right. It wouldn't be, it would be for everybody. But since it's not coming to repeat it, it's just coming to teach us an additional halacha. Therefore, it's just for us. So it's as if it's a case of, it was said to Bnei Noach and not to us after, which means it's only for us. That was the klal. Bayom, Huda'ata, Bayom v'afilu b'shabbat. That's the drasha. V'harei piriyah rivya. Okay, who's commanded to reproduce? It's not one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. It's for us. Shenemra l'bnei Noach, dichti, v'atem peru revu. Okay, it says it there. V'nishneit b'sinai, and it was repeated in Sinai, where, lech emor lem shuvu lachem lo alechem. Do you remember this pasuk at the end of the, remember they're supposed to separate from their wives for 3 days before they get the Torah, and then it says, lech emor lem shuvu lachem lo alechem, go back to your oalim, which means go back to your wives and have relations with your wives. So there you see, peru revu was repeated. So again, right, Yisrael Nemra v'lo l'bnei Noach. And we know that this was just given to Yisrael. So again, it defies the rule. Hahu, now, why did it say lechem or lem shuv lechem lo alechem? It was to teach you a different halacha. What's the halacha? Lechol davar shebeminyan sarich minyan acher lahatiro hu da'ata. Why did God have to tell them go back to your homes? Because God had told them separate from your wives. Then he told them again, go back together with your wives. What do you learn from here? That anytime there's a gzerah or some sort of prohibition that the rabbis place upon you, they have to remove it from you also with a minyan. They have to get together. This is a lachic thing that relates to Sanhedrin, right? Anytime they make a takana, if you want to remove the takana, you have to get together and also have the same number of people or maybe even the same amount of greatness. This is why some of our takana we can't ever remove because they were done by minyan and we don't have a minyan now to remove them. Right? Minyan, not a minyan like 10 men. It's a minyan of judges who get together to decide. So here we're learning that from the fact that God repealed it himself. Right? It wasn't just obvious. Oh, now obviously, right? After Matan Torah, it would be obvious. We've already gotten the Torah. Now we can go back and be with our wives. Now God needed to repeal his gzerah or his rule. Okay, so again, it was repeated for a side reason. Yihachi kochad v'chadana minema mishum milta itne. In other words, you could play this game with every single one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. You could say, well, Gezel is repeated, lo tigzol. Right? Giloy Ariyot is repeated, lo tinah. You could go through all the lists and come up with all of them are really repeated. In which case, right, we could say, maybe all those times it was repeated was to teach us additional halachot relating to it. So you could play this game with all of them. So what did they answer? Hachi kamar. Azhara mehader umitneba. Okay, in other words, here, there it says the prohibition, like lo tigzol, lo tinah. Whereas, right, so the azhara is coming to, it's repeating the azhara, whereas here, it's really telling you details. It's not repeating the azhara. It's saying, Ubayom HaShmini Yimol B'Sor Olato. You'll do it on the Yom HaShmini. It's giving you details about it. It's not really directly talking about do a Brit Milah. Or it's a little weak, but that's kind of the way they're saying it. Okay? So it's their time at the entire prohibition is opposed to details relating to it. Lama Li. So now, according to this, what did we say? If you remember, we said, so now we have this category. It was said to Bnei Noach, right? Below the Sinai, right? It wasn't repeated the Sinai. So we said, Ein lanu ela, the only one we have in that category, according to his original statement, was Gid Anasheh. If we only have Gid Anasheh, right? What did we just do in the Gemara? We said, well, we also have Peru Revu, and we also have Brit Milah. So what do you mean? Ein lanu ela, right? So, Ihachi, Lama liva ein lanu elagida nashe bilvad valiva de Rabbi Yehuda haninami itne. Right, we also have all three of these. So now we're going to say, okay, when he said ein lanu elagida nashe, he was talking about a specific category of things where gida nashe isn't mentioned at all, whereas hane itne l'shum milta ba'alma ha lo itne klal. The only one we have that wasn't brought up, ever mentioned in the Torah at all, was Gidon Asher. It's true we have other things in this category, Puruvu and Brit Milah, but they were mentioned later. So when he said we only have Gidon Asher, he was talking about we only have Gidon Asher that was never mentioned at all. So we end up with, we have ones that were never mentioned at all, that's Gidon Asher. We have ones that were mentioned but coming to teach some side issue, which is Brit Milah and Puruvu, and both of those are in the category of their just for Yisrael and not for Bnei Noach anymore. And then we have ones that were mentioned directly as an Azhara, and those we're going to say are for Jews and Bnei Noach, like Lo Tigzol, Lo Tinaf, etc. Okay, so that's one answer. Now the Gemara is going to give also another answer. Ibait Ema Mila Meikar La Avram Hu Dekam Yisrael Lev Rachmana. And as Brit Milah, okay, we're not going to say anything for Puru Revu, but Brit Milah, maybe we can have another reason, which is that really it was given to Avraham. What does it say? You and your Zera. Atav Zaracha in, but inish achrina lo. Right, which means just you and not your, and just not anybody else. But then obviously, what's the question? You're going to say B'nai Ishmael Chayav to do Brit Milah? So it says, Anu, because it says, Kibi Yitzchak Yikarei Lecha Zara. Yitzchak is considered your Zera, and who's your Zera to Brit Milah? Yitzchak. Okay, that doesn't totally resolve our issue, because what about Bnei Esav? Lechaivo? So now it says, Bi Yitzchak Yikarei Lecha Zera. In Yitzchak, meaning, Lo Kol Yitzchak. Not all of Yitzchak, but within Yitzchak, you will get your Zera, which is through Yaakov. Matkif La Rav Hoshaya, Ela me'ata b'nei k'torah lo l'chayvu. Now this is interesting. Why the Gemara assumes that b'nei k'torah are chayavim? Because they say, what about b'nei k'torah that came from Avram? They're not chayav in Brit Milah. There was an assumption that the b'nei k'torah were chayav and the b'nei Esav and Yishmael were not chayav. Remember, k'torah was one of Avram's pilag shot. Ha'amar b'yosi bar Avram v'item b'yosi bar b'chinina et b'riti efer l'rabot b'nei k'torah. Here they have this statement that says that they're included in Brit Milah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Adam Arishon. Now this is already the next thing. How did this end? V'itim Briti Efrei L'Rabot B'nei K'torah. I guess there's no answer to this question. So they just question, right? Did I miss something? Right. No. It's a question. Didn't he say? Or no? Did I miss it? One second. He's saying, I guess they're saying, do you want to say B'nei K'torah lo l'chayvu? And then they say, no, we don't think that. We think they are chayav. It just didn't really answer how we differentiate. But they're saying we differentiate. That's the Gemara is just saying we do differentiate. Okay, now we get to the vegetarian Gemara. Okay, this is for vegetarians among you. We can have a sugya about vegetarianism and who is commanded, when we commanded to that we could eat meat. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav. Adam Arishon lo hutar lo basar l'achila. He wasn't allowed to eat meat. Dichtiv, lachem yeh l'ochla ulecho chayat haaretz. Right, this will be for you. One second. Right, hinei natati, you have to read the whole pasuk. It's in Bereshit Aleph. During the creation, hinei natati lachem et kol esev zorea zera asher al pnei kol haaretz ve'et kol ha'etz asher bo pri etz zorea zara. Okay, that's all the trees and the grass and the trees and the vegetation. Lachem yeh l'ochla ulechol chayat haaretz ulechol of hashamayim ulechol rames al haaretz asher bo nefesh chayat et yerek esev l'ochla. Okay, all this vegetation is for you and the animals. Okay, below chayat haaretz lachem, right? It's for the chayat haaretz. It doesn't say the chayat haaretz are for you to eat. Ukeshabal b'nei Noach hitir lachem shenemar. Okay, this is the pasuk we saw before, which is was told to Noach kol remes asher hu chai lachem yela ochla. Okay, anything that lives is for you to eat. Ki yerek esev natati lachem it's kol. Just like you were able to eat the yerek esev before, now you can eat meat. Okay. Et kol natati lachem et kol Yachol lo yehe ever menachai noheg bo. So maybe you can even eat ever menachai. Tamud lamar, again, ach basar benafsho damolo tuchlu. Right, therefore, we know from that pasuk that you can't eat ever menachai. Yachol af l'shratzim. Maybe you could also eat creepy crawlers, right? Lachol romes. It sounds like you can even eat shratzim. Tamud lamar, ach. Ach basar benafsho, it means you can't eat ever menachai, and the ach comes to exclude also bugs and creepy crawlers. Umay Talmuda, how do we learn this from the ach? And the connection to basar benafsho, this is what we saw the other day. Amar Rav Huna, damo, misha damo chaluk mibsaro. Yashut shratzim she'ein damam chaluk mibsaram. Their blood is not different from their body. Whereas humans, animals, their blood is separate from their body. Meitive. Uridu b'degat hayam. It said to in Adam HaRishon, right, in Perek Aleph, what did it say? Vayverechatam Elohim, vayomer lahem Elohim, puru uruvu malu et haaretz v'chivshua, uridu b'degat hayam u'ba'of ha'shamayim u'kol chayar ramez del haaretz, which means, right, have dominion over them. What is have dominion? If not, my lav la'achila, that you can eat them. So the Gemara answers, lo lemilacha. It means you can work them. They can work under you. Okay, so now, tagim b'nei melacha ninhu? What, fish can work for you? In fact, they can. Kidder Rechava, like Rechava says, Dibai Rechava, the Rechava asked a halachic question. Hinhig be'iza v'shibuta mai. If you took a shibuta fish, which was some sort of large fish, and you had him and a goat pull your wagon, is that considered kilayim? Remember, lo, you can't use two different animals to pull your wagon? It's part of the kilayim. So what would be the halacha? So here you see that you can use a dog for work. Tashma, what about the next part? Uva ofa shamayim. Okay, well, isn't that my lav lachila that you can eat them? Lo, lamelacha. Again, the Gemara is going to say, va'ofo b'nei melacha ninu, you can work birds. In kedibai rabba rafuna, dash ba'avazim v'tarnagolin, l'rabbi Yossi b'rabbi Yehuda mai. There was a question about what if you did disha with avazim and tarnagolim, you did threshing using these birds, would it be okay? And therefore, what do you see? That they use them for working purposes. Tashma, ubcho chaya romeset ala aretz. So what about that, which would also mean eating? Hahula tuye nachash hudata. This comes to include the nachash. Okay, the reason they say ubechochaya means even the nachash you can have dominion over. Titanya. Now here we're going to have an interesting source, an interesting story. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh Omer, chaval al shamash gadol sheava min haolam. One second. Right. Chaval shamash gadol shava min haolam. Okay, what's the shamash gadol shava min haolam? Shil malei nitkalel nachash kol echav Yisrael hayu mizdamnim lo shnei nachashim tovim. Echad meshagro lesafon ve'echad meshagro ledarom lehavilo sandalbonim. Okay, so albedonim tovim. In other words, what happened? They're saying, what a loss from Chet Adam HaRishon, from the nachash. Because if it weren't for that, every man would have two nechashim working for him. Okay, and what would those nechashim do? They would bring him these precious stones, sandalbonim or some type of precious stone, vavanim tovot umargaliot, okay, and pearls and other stones. Velod ela shemafshilin ritzua tachatz nevo, v'motziba afar leginato lechurvato. In other words, you can also use it to put it under the ground, right? You would put a ritzua under his Zanav somehow, and you would be able to get the afar. I don't know, something you would do with your adama. Okay, so what are we saying here? That again, we're saying that it wasn't in order to allow them to eat meat. What was the whole purpose of that pasuk lechol chaya? To say that even the nechashim would be there to work for you. Okay, now meitive. What about the fact that Adam HaRishon really can't eat meat? Hayar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer Adam HaRishon meisev began Eden haya. Okay, here we see Adam HaRishon was sitting there, according to this braita, and the malachim were giving him basar and giving him wine. Okay, what's really the source telling us? What caused the nachash to get Adam? It was jealousy, right? That's the idea. And that's what's getting, this midrash is getting at, is it was jealousy that caused Chet Adam HaRishon. But in fact, what does it say in the source? That if you understand it literally, he was eating meat. So now the Gemara is going to answer, Hatam bebasar hayoreh min hashamayim. Okay, that wasn't real meat. That was meat that came from the heavens. It wasn't meat that came from animals. It was meat that came from the heavens. So Gemara asks, Mi'ika basari rebna shamayim, is there such a thing? Gemara says, in, yeah, in fact there is. Here's another story about it, okay? Here's our story. Ki had roshim ben chalafta, hava ka'aza ba'orcha, pag'u bohanach aryevata, davu kana melape. So roshim ben chalafta is walking on the street, he bumps into these lions, okay? And they're roaring. Amar hashfirim shoagim latarath. So the poor lions, they're hungry, they're begging for food, give them food, he prays for them. Nechitulu tarte amtata, okay, two slabs of meat come down from the heavens. Chada achlua v'chada shavkua. One, the aryeh eat, the arayot eat, and one, the lions leave. Aite v'ata l'beit midrash. So he takes the other piece of meat to the beit midrash. What does he want to know? Ba'ala, davarta mehuze or davarta hor? How do I know if this is kosher meat, non-kosher meat, are we allowed to eat it? Okay, I just saw this fall from the heavens. I don't know what its status is. Davar amule ein davar tameh yoreh ben hashamayim. Nothing tameh falls from the heavens. Great line, right? Anything that comes from the heavens is pure. So now we're asked a great question. Ba'amine Rabbi Zera Marabi Abahu, who says about this story. Yardulo dmut chamor mahu. What if it was a donkey, which we know is not kosher, right? Would it be mutar or not? Hamar le yarud nala, you idiot. Okay? He says, ha'amre le ein davar tameh yoreh ben hashamayim. They say nothing tameh falls in the heavens. Even if it's a chamor, it's not really a chamor, it's really something different. And this is just a great line about things coming from heaven, right? We always have this bat kol, and on the one hand, we don't really listen to the bat kol. On the other hand, they're saying things that come from the heavens have a certain purity, no matter what they are, no matter what the content is, no matter what, right? It's got this different status. Again, what you do with that status is a whole separate question. Because we always say, emashkechim bebat kol, we don't listen to it, we don't paskin like it, because we have a court system. It's the whole interplay between the courts and the heavenly word and halacha and God, and, you know, halacha that's man-made and God and heavens. Fascinating story. Anyway, okay, food for thought. Literally.